I'm going to preach on time tonight. On time. We're running out of time. Redeem your time. And what are we doing with our time? I want to talk about time. Well, the services on Wednesday night has been such a blessing to me and all these good people. The preaching on Wednesday night and your testimonies, you don't know what a blessing they were to me. And I appreciate it very, very much. Psalms 90. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God for his good people. Good people. Praise the Lord. Felt a good spirit here tonight. You know, usually where there's good people, you usually feel a good spirit when there's good people. And I wouldn't want to offend or hurt anybody, not in the day in which we live. As we come down to the end of the road, I want to try to care for people, treat people good, and have compassion upon people. I used to be very judgmental. If a person wasn't just like me, they wasn't in the boat. But I've learned a little bit down through the years, a little bit of maybe wisdom, that I'm not critical toward anybody. I found out that everybody has to walk this way themselves. And I just want to treat people good. I don't want to be their judge. I want to treat people good. All right, Psalms 90. For all our days, verse 9, Psalms 90, verse 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Now, I think that we get from verse 10, and I would like to think that tonight, if it's all right. I don't know it all by a long ways, but I'd like to think we kind of get the ideal that God has given man 70 years. And I know that people dies younger than that. And by strength or by good health, you might get 80 years. But again, I'd like to think about this 70 years. And life is short. I thought about it. Think about it. There's a good chance that I have 70 years. I look around and I don't see anybody that's 15. But if you're 15 years old, you've lived 21% of that 70 years. If you're 25 years old, you've lived 35% of that 70 years. If you live to be 35, of course, you've lived 50% of 70 years. If you're 50 years old, you've lived 71% of that 70 years. If you're 70 or over, you're living on the mercy and the grace and the goodness of God. I'm 62 years old. I've lived 88% of my 70 years. If I just live to be 70. So I've come too far to turn back now. I've done too much water on the bridge for me to quit. Too many tears have been shed for me to stop. I don't know. I kind of hope and pray I live longer than 70, 80, 90. I'll even take 100. But I don't know. But I know one thing. We're coming down to the end of the road in this life. It's swiftly passing by. I also got to looking, and I found out that if you're in 70 years of lifetime, 6 months of that 70 years, you're sitting at the stoplight. I believe that. 8 months of that 70 years, you're opening junk mail. I believe that. 1 year of that 70 years, you're looking for misplaced things. 2 years of that 70 years, you're unsuccessfully returning phone calls. 4 years of that 70 years, you're doing housework. Brother Jarvis, in the last couple of years, since they've been at school, I feel like I've done 4 years of housework. 5 years of that 70 years, you're waiting in line. I believe that. I was traveling down the road just the other day, and there at McDonald's, it must have been backed up a quarter of a mile in a drive-thru, waiting in line. 5 years of that 70 years. 6 years of that, you're eating. And I probably do more than that. But I got to thinking about those few things. There's over 19 years right there in those few things of that 70 years. Oh, brothers and sisters, we are running out of time. And I got to thinking about how important time was to God. 6 days, God made this great world. And on the seventh day, He rested. God wanted us to understand about time. And I noticed in the book of Genesis, time after time, He would give the age of a person that had died. He would give that age. He wanted us to know how long Methuselah lived on this earth. 969 years old. I told my mom, which is 92, I said, "Mom, compared to Methuselah, you're a baby." But God wants us to know about time. I thought about when the flood came. It came on the second month and the 17th day of Noah's 600th year. God wanted us to know that time. I like Abraham. God called Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 to go to a land of promise when he was 75 years old. When Isaac was born, Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was 90. But I like to think about Isaac. The Bible says that Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah. Now that meant something to me, because Evelyn and I were 36 years old when we married. So you see how important God's word, even the times and the ages of people, they can speak to our heart. What about that? God bringing that out that Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah. I thought about Moses. He was 40 years in Egypt. He was there for 40 years, and then in the desert he was 40 more years. And then God called him from that burning bush when he was 80 years old. And he was 40 years there, died at 120. Died at 120 years. Oh, that's 340s that God spoke to him and precious to him. And 40 is mentioned a lot in the Bible. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. Moses went up to the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus was tempted 40 days and 40 nights. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. So you see, time is very precious to the Lord. Israel was in bondage in Egypt for, I think it's, God told Moses, I think 430 or 450 years. Did you know God's word was right on target? Because in that time span, God delivered them out of the Egyptian bondage. Between the Old and the New Testament, what is it? 400 years. God created the world, and I guess from that creation to now, it's been a little over 6,000 years. God wants us to know about time. Amen. I guess we've been living under grace for over 2,000 years. God wants us to know about time. I was thinking about, there's 365 days in a year. There's 24 hours in a day. And I believe that's when God made the world. I believe it was 24 hours, those 6 days. I believe it's 24 hours a day. But anyway, there's 86,400 seconds in a day. And they're ticking off right now. 86,400 seconds that God gave me today, and they're ticking away. And I thought, Lord, only what I do for you is what's really going to matter. I want my life, brothers and sisters, to be a living epistle. I like that song, "Let My Life Be a Light to Some Soul." That's my desire, not to run people down, not to push them down, not to be mean to them or hateful to them, but I want to rest of my life, I want to lift people up, Brother Jarvis. That's what I want to do. We may be living on borrowed time, and I know time's running out, but eternity will never run out. One of these days, somewhere, someday, we will be somewhere. Amen, we will. Also, I got to thinking about some verses in the Word of God. In Job chapter 8, now I don't expect you to maybe go to these verses. I'm going through these quite fast. But Job chapter 8, we read, "For we are but yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon the earth are a shadow." And I thought about a shadow. What does that mean? The writer is telling us that our days sometime are dark and there is trouble in our days. In Job chapter 14, verse 1, "A man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." In Psalms 144 and verse 4, "Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away." Proverbs 27, verse 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." James chapter 4, you know these verses, "Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord's will, we shall live and do this or that. It is like a vapor that appeareth for a little while." When you boil water and you see that vapor, that steam, it's there for a little while and then it vanishes away. Our life is like a mist. It's like a fog. It's like a puff of smoke. It's there, and then it's gone away. On my dad's side, or in other words, my granddad, which I don't remember much about him because he lived a life of wickedness. He drank a lot, and I don't remember him very much at all. But oh, my granddad, on my mother's side, lived a life of righteousness, a holiness and a Christian life, and I remember him. We have only one life to live, and only what we do for Christ is going to matter. Amen. A lot of times I think about the 40 years that I spent at Sylvania. There were times when I was making those light bulbs, I could have been doing more for the Lord, but I was trying to support my faith. But life is like a vapor. You're here today and you're gone tomorrow. And those 86,400 seconds are clicking away. And what in the world am I doing? What are we doing? Are we praising God? Are we lifting Him up? Are we an encourager and trying to help somebody? What have we done for Christ today? That's what goes through my mind. That's what I'm concerned about. How am I living my life for the Lord? Genesis chapter 18, Abraham says, I am but dust and ashes. Oh, I really like this one in 1 Samuel chapter 20. You notice I'm really not giving you the verse to every one of these because maybe you read the whole chapter. But 1 Samuel chapter 20, David comes to the place in his life. David was a great man of God. He was a shepherd of Israel. He was the darling of Israel. Amen. David come to a place in his life and he said, there is but a step between myself and death. You think about that tonight, brothers and sisters. There's just a step. There's just a breath away from us living and from us dying. Oh, we need God. We don't think we need Him. We need the Lord desperately in these last days. Oh, what are we living our life for? We are running out of time. If I live to be 70, I got less than 8 years to go. 8 years. Think about that. The last 8 years have flew by. Time is running out. Oh, we can get all caught up in things of this life, the cares of this life, our family and different things. Only what we do for Christ is really going to matter. I never in my life seen people going rushing here and there. You can get on out here on I-75. You do 70, they'll do 75. You do 75, they'll do 80. I have never in my life. I came from a slow time, and I know I'm way behind right now. But I'll tell you one thing. I may be slow about getting there long as I get there. Down through my years, I've seen people come into the house of God. You thought they was going to change the world. And not long, they fell by the wayside. I'll tell you what I've learned, brothers and sisters. Take it easy. One step at a time. Be sure. Be steadfast. Be solid. Just stay with it. Take one day at a time. There may not people may not notice that you're alive. You just stay with it. You just stay faithful to God. This is the backbone of the church right here tonight. Precious people. You keep the lights on. You keep the heat on in the wintertime. The backbone right here tonight. I know that. I got enough sense to know that. I've been around long enough. The best is here tonight. And I also realize that some's not able to be here tonight, and they're the best. I know that. Oh, God, help us. Help us to work for God in these last days. Help us to spend every second of our life trying to be an encourager, trying to help somebody, trying to pick somebody up that's down and out. Hallelujah. Job chapter 7, verse 6, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Oh, remember that my life is wind. Think about that. He said, oh, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Oh, I found out what he's saying here. Our days are short and our days are few and our days are fast. A weaver's shuttle is an instrument that they used to make cloth. A weaver weaves the thread together to make the cloth, and it's fast. And Job said, my days are faster than a weaver's shuttle. Oh, we're running out of time. Brothers and sisters, one of these days, the Bible says, in Revelations, an angel is going to set one foot upon the land and one foot upon the sea, and he's going to raise his hand and says, time shall be no more. I'm not concerned how many maybe may be better than me, preach better than me, sing better than me, teach better than me, or do better than me. My concern is tonight, am I doing the obedient
will of God? And am I treating people good and trying to help them and encourage them to make it to that good place? Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Young may die. The old must die. You know where I got that from? Right here on Wednesday night. A good pastor, Brother Jarvis, preached that, and I wrote it down. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. The way I've been lately, when they get up to preach and when they teach, I write them good jewels, them good pearls of thought down on paper that they'll help me and that they'll encourage me. I'm going to tell you something, church. You hear it every Wednesday night. Right here at this church, good things of God that'll encourage them if we'll listen. And I believe you do. Time escapes us at the alarming rate. We master our minutes, or we become slave to them. Oh, I like Solomon. Oh, he was a wise man. He was a rich man. The Bible said when he got old, the love of women turned him away from God. But I don't know, you may disagree, but I believe he found the Lord at the end. I don't know that. I can't really prove that, but I just think he did. But Solomon found out this in the book of Ecclesiastes. He said, vanity is vanity. All is vanity. But Solomon come to the place and he wondered. Church, he wondered, where did the time go? I was thinking today, brothers and sisters, I can remember when I was a little barefoot boy and my daddy had a Farmall Cub. Some of your older ones probably know what a Farmall Cub, a little red tractor. Anyway, I can remember my dad sitting on the seat of that little tractor, and I was a small boy, barefoot boy, in between his legs. Oh, I'm telling you, I can remember way back there, but it's been like just yesterday. Time has swiftly passed me by. Evelyn and I celebrated our anniversary last week. She gave me 26 years of her life. We got a late start. Joanna turned 25 in the month of March. She gave me 25 years of her life. I want to tell you, that's what God wants. He wants you and me. He's not interested in how much money you got, what kind of car you drive, what kind of house you got. He owns it all. I won't tell you what he wants from you and me. He wants us. He wants our obedience. You know what, you talk about the 10% giving it to the Lord, the tithe. What about the 10% of our time? There's 168 hours in a week. I figured that out. Well, Evelyn helped me to figure that out. There's 17 hours, almost 17 hours that belongs to God if we give him a tenth. How many hours are we giving him a week? If you come on Sunday morning and don't come no more, what is that, 3 hours? If you come all three services, what is that, 7 or 8 hours? What in the world happened to the other 10 hours? What about that? What about that? When I was in my early 30s, all I ever wanted in life was to get married and have a family. For years and years and years. But I come to my early 30s and I said, all right, God, it don't look like I'm going to ever get married, but I'm going to tell you something, God. If I never get married, I'm living for you. And when God seen that I spoke from my heart about that, when I was 34 years old, I met Evelyn. Evelyn was in her 30s, teaching school right here in London, Kentucky, early 30s. Going through a hard time, wanting to get married, thought she was getting old just like me. We didn't know each other. Early 30s, right here at school. Lonely, wanted to get married. Desperate for God to help her. And God gave her a verse of scripture in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. And will not tarry. Well, praise God, Brother Jarvis. I could almost jump over this pulpit. I want to tell you, God gave her assurance from His precious word. Sister, when you got up to testify, you said something about time. And I told Evan, I said, I know I'm on the right track tonight on time. Oh, I want to tell you, in God's time, He makes all things beautiful in His time. Praise God. Well, praise God forever and ever. I want to spend my time treating people good. If I die before the Lord comes, I tell you, if anybody comes to the funeral home, I tell you what I'd like for them to say. Good old Brother Charlie, he spent his life making others look good. Amen. That's what I want to spend my life, trying to make others look good, feel good, and be encouraged. My brother died at 64 years of age of leukemia. Just a little while before he died, I was working up at the barn, and I needed something. So I went to my brother's home. He was sitting in front of the garage. I thought I may be able to find, at his house what I needed. He said, Charlie, won't you sit down and talk with me for a while? I said, Billy, I got a lot to do here. I'm in a hurry. And I left. Oh, how many times I wished I could go back and sit down and talked with my brother. Monday, I was in Sand Gap mowing my yard. There in Sand Gap. And I met a friend there, and he was busy. And I walked up to him, and I said, well, you're busy. I don't want to take your time. You know what he said to me? I'll make time. And that's what we got to do for people. We have to make time. I know it's a fast-paced, entertained, sports-crazy generation. And I'm not down on all that, okay? I'm just saying that's where our minds and our hearts and our lives are on a lot of things. Making money. And you got to make money. I mean, I'd hate to not have a penny tonight. But oh, we need to spend our time living for the Lord. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die. And after that, the judgment. Galatians 4:4, when in the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. God is right on time. The last time my daddy heard me speak or teach Sunday school, I taught Sunday school at my dad's house. And I taught on the thought stuff. I taught on things. We got too many things. It's amazing to me how you buy this shelter or this little, what do they call them little things, little log cabins to put stuff in. And you fill that up with stuff. Then you buy another and you fill that up with stuff. Every closet in the house is full of stuff. Attic's full of stuff. We got too much stuff. And I believe that stuff can weigh us down. Did you know what? I got one old car that I drive. We got a Malibu that's 2004. I got a car in the barn. I got a truck sitting in the field. I got too much stuff. And none of them's new. Too much stuff. Not to take too long, but I got three little quick things here. We need to spend our time worshiping, honoring, and living for God. Amen. I read the other day, or heard about it, whenever it was, that a high percentage of professing Christian people don't even read the Word of God every day. Oh, God wants us to honor Him. He wants us to praise Him. He wants us to worship Him. But the main thing, He wants our time. Are we giving Him the leftovers? When we've done everything that we can do, then we give Him that leftover time. I want to real quickly here
We need to give our family time. Time together. Me and Evelyn needs to talk. Times of talking. Times together. Do things together. Go on vacations together. Me and Evelyn takes a date every now and then. We have a date every now and then. Me and Joanna has a date every now and then. We need to give our family time. I've heard that people don't even have supper together. I call it supper. Maybe you call it dinner, but I'm the old-time supper man. We need to build each other, build each other up, and do things together. Talk to your wife. Talk to your husband. Talk to your children. Have some times of talk. I mean, make time. Make time. It's simply amazing to me. Now, if you do this, don't get mad at me. But it's amazing to me. People buys a riding lawnmower. And they'll go to the exercise place. That absolutely amazes me. Anymore, I mow the home in Lawrenceburg's yard. I mow my trailer yard in Sand Gap. And I mow the yard at Joanna's. Believe me, I'm getting all the exercise I need. Brothers and sisters, let's have family time. What do you say? Now, if you do that, don't you get mad at me. Because if I had a riding lawnmower, I'd probably do the same thing. But I don't have one. Families. Your wife needs you, husband. Husband, your wife needs you. Children need you. You can buy them everything in this world. But I tell you what they want. They want you. When Joanna was a little girl, I had my job. Evelyn could have got a good teaching job in Lawrenceburg, but she chose to homeschool. We could have had a better car, a bigger home, but we wanted to give Joanna time for God. There was times it was tough, it was close, the money was tight. Joanna was homeschooled by Evan for I don't know how many years. She took online classes. She went to God's Bible School some in Cincinnati. She went 2 years to OBI in Missouri. Why? Why? Because I wanted to invest in her eternal life. All my family members, I was driving a car, they wouldn't even drive town back. But that's what our children want. They want you. Not your money. You. Are you giving your children, your grandchildren, your time? Church needs you. Your faithfulness, your fellowship right here at this church. Now, if anybody thinks that you can stay home and do just as good as when you go to church, I know better than that. I have missed a lot of Sundays in the last 2 years. Me and my family takes care of my mom on Sunday. And I want to tell you something. If it wasn't for this Wednesday night service pulling me through, church needs you. Brothers and sisters need you. Fellowship. Encourage each other. Praise God. Praise God. The church needs you. Church needs you. Sure does. Be faithful to God's house. Come to the house of God. You may say, well, it's the same old thing every service. Make a difference. My word, the testimonies. I have found out that a pastor don't have all the answers.
Is that all right, Brother Jarvis? Sunday school teacher don't have all the answers. But your testimony might be just what the church needs. My word, your testimonies picked me up and carried me home. God needs you. Family needs you. And the church needs you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Praise God. We're running out of time. We are running out of time. So that's what I wanted to share with you tonight. I believe it was David Brenner, a missionary to the Indians. I think, what was it? He traveled 2 years. I don't know how many miles he traveled on horseback for 2 years and never won one soul. But Brother David said, if I had 1,000 lives, I'd live it for the Indians. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? I hope to someday as I close, I hope this has been all right to think about time. You had 86,400 seconds today. How much or how many seconds have we gave God today? Have you looked back? Wished you could have done some things over? Well, I do. I sure do. Time's run out. Just before my daddy went into the operating room, for the last time that my dad could respond to me, I love my daddy dearly, and we were very close. And I looked at daddy, and I had a little prayer, and I grabbed him by the nose and squeezed it. They tell me that I've got my daddy's laugh, big wide laugh. And I looked down at daddy, that big laugh. If I could just see daddy smile one more time. As Brother Gene Huff said about Vernon Chrisman, I don't know how many of you knew him or not, but as Brother Huff said, had you ever seen anybody could grind out a laugh like Brother Vernon Chrisman? You ever heard him? I mean, he could grind it out. If I could just hear him laugh one time. We only have one life to live, and only what we do for Christ is going to matter.